As we gather in today, we are still in John's Gospel. And so if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open it to John chapter 20. If not, a link will be going up in the comments to take you to Bible Gateway, and the scripture can be found there. But we're going to be reading today from John 20, verses 24 through 29. But before we start reading that text, I kind of want to set up where we are. Just a week ago, it was Easter morning, and we were with Mary at the tomb and with two other disciples who were there. But then quickly, as they discovered Jesus was missing, he appeared to Mary. And the disciples had gone off and they had locked themselves in a home together. And Jesus came in and he appeared to them and he said, "Peace be with you." And they recognized that Jesus was no longer dead, but he had risen. That new life had come. But one of the disciples, it tells us, is missing. And so that is where we will start today. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in that mark and my hand on his side, I will not believe.'" We'll finish this text in just a moment. But we encounter Thomas. He's come back to meet the disciples, and they've just shared with him this great news. And he immediately responds, not with, "Wow, that's so awesome, guys." But instead he says, "I don't believe you. I don't believe what you're saying. I will not believe this unless I see it for myself." He's kind of like a really good Missourian, right? Because we're the show me state. Thomas wants to have it seen for himself. He's saying, "Come on, show me, guys. Show me the evidence." I don't know about you, but I'm kind of one of those people that worries sometimes. I question everything. I want to make sure that I'm making the right decision. And so sometimes I don't make any decisions at all because I'm just so unsure. And even when it comes to faith, I'll make a personal confession. Sometimes I doubt God's presence, particularly when I see people suffering around me. As I continue to watch the daily death count from COVID-19, I often wonder, is God really here in the midst of this chaos and mess? I think we would like to be counted among those who are blessed, as Jesus says at the end of this text. We'll get there in a minute. But he says, "Blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet come to believe." I think we would like to be that kind of person, but some of us are more like Thomas. Some of us can't quite say, "Yeah, I believe that," unless we experience it for ourselves. We struggle with doubt, we struggle with our relationship with God, we wonder if there is a God, and if there is a God, we wonder, does God notice me? And if God notices us, we wonder, does God really even care about me? And if God cares, we wonder, am I good enough to be loved? And so we walk in these doubts, and we wonder, can we prove this? And if we can't, is it true? But the good news is God does not push us aside. God's love has room for all of your questions and all of mine. God's love is big enough to be with us in our doubt. Because our faith and our doubt can walk side by side. So as we continue reading, we're just a week later from Easter in our scripture text and also in our time and space right now. So it says, "A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, and Jesus came in and stood beside them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put it in my side. Do not doubt, believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thomas has rejoined his friends. And it almost seems as if Jesus was listening to that conversation that happened a week ago when the disciples said, "Hey, Thomas, guess what? Jesus appeared here." And Thomas said, "No, I don't believe it. Unless I see this, I'm not going to believe it." And so Jesus walks in and says, "Peace be with you." And then he says to Thomas the exact thing Thomas had said just a week before to his disciples. As we start reading this text, I wonder, where was Thomas on that first Easter morning? Maybe he was on a Hy-Vee run to get the disciples' groceries that week. I don't know. In oftentimes when we hear the story of Thomas, sometimes he's referred to as kind of the bad guy. When the 10 other disciples told him that Jesus was alive after the crucifixion, he refuses to believe. He separates himself from the others, and he demands to see Christ for himself. He was this doubting follower, and we should not be like him. But often, I wonder how much we are just like him. The biblical text is full of people who are imperfect. From the very, very beginning of Scripture in Genesis, Abram and Sarai doubt God. God comes to them and says, "Abram, I'm going to bless you with as many descendants as there are stars in the sky." And he tells his wife Sarai that she will conceive a child. And she laughs at God. Over and over and over again, people in the Bible doubt God. And over and over and over again, God keeps showing up. Sometimes I wonder if we are too fearful to express our doubt, if we think we'll be laughed at or mocked, if we don't share where it is in our faith that we struggle. And so maybe we struggle alone, deep with questions, because we're afraid how others might react. But that's the awesome thing about Thomas, is he dares to bring doubt into our lives of faith. When we take a closer look at Thomas, one of the things that we can see about him is he's kind of a straight shooter, a tell-it-like-it-is kind of guy. Earlier in John's Gospel, in chapter 11, we hear this story that Lazarus is sick, Jesus' friend, and he later dies. But at one point, it says that Jesus is under threat of being stoned, and Thomas supports Jesus, and he says, "Let's just go along also, so that we might die with him." And in the middle of Jesus' farewell discourse, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. You do not know the place where I am going." And Thomas replies back, he's like, "Hey, Jesus, wait. If we don't know the place where you're going, how can we know the way?" Thomas is kind of a realist, a little bit. A lot like some of you, I'm sure. And so when the disciples tell Thomas that they have seen Jesus, he answers, "Guys, this sounds like a great story, but unless I see it for myself, unless you show me, I'm not going to believe. You know, it's interesting, Thomas gets a bad rap for being a doubter. But two of the disciples in John's gospel and Mary, they were all at the tomb and saw that it was empty. And yet, they all went into a room and hid. They were doubters, too. It just so happens that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared. Thomas is no more of a doubter than the other disciples. He's no more a doubter than the rest of us. And so Jesus comes in and he shows Thomas his hands and his side. And in that moment, the climax of the Easter story is that when Thomas sees that, he exclaims out, he says, "My Lord and my God." He confesses to what he has seen and now believes. Friends, we too are called to be like Thomas. That when we experience the fullness of God's grace and love, to exclaim it for everyone to hear. To have Jesus come and live inside our hearts so that we can walk alongside others who doubt. And in the midst of our own doubt, we are called to recall those moments where God has been present with us. This seems right now to be a big season of doubt and worry and anger and frustration. I hear it all the time, and it even comes out of my own mouth. Right now, are we doing the right thing? Is this real? Should we be doing more? We question, we antagonize, we grieve, we worry. The good news about Thomas is it's okay to do those things. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to doubt. But also to remember that God is there and God keeps showing up. That we are not supposed to dwell in our doubt, but dwell in the comfort of God. If you participated in our Easter service last week, we had an option, like we do every week, for you to have an at-home worship script. And so in our at-home worship script, there was an invitation to get a worry stone. And so I want to invite you, if you didn't do that last week, to do that this week. If we read the account of the resurrection in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that after the stone had rolled away from the tomb, the angel is sitting there on top of the stone, and he tells the women, "Do not be afraid." And then in John's gospel that we read last week, and we continued this week, when the disciples are huddled in fear, Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be with you." And he says it again this morning to Thomas. And he reaches out and he gives Thomas something to touch, to feel. I think for me, that's the hardest part of physical distancing, is not being able to be physically present with those that I love, to be able to shake your hands and give you hugs on Sunday morning. So I'm inviting you to get a physical reminder, something you can touch, something you can feel. And to make this be a worry stone. A worry stone is something that you can carry with you in your pocket, and it's something that you can rub when you're feeling anxious or worried, or maybe even doubtful. And so I would encourage you to take that stone and draw or paint a heart on it, because our series right now is the heart of the matter. What rests at the center? What is it that we really need to know about this gospel message? So take this stone and keep it with you, and whenever you're fearful or worried or anxious or grieving, take that stone and rub it. And remember the angel's message of do not be afraid, and Jesus entering into your hearts and into your lives, saying peace be with you. And remember the message of Easter, that life prevails, hope is found and love wins. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for this moment to pause and to worship together. God, I thank you for not dismissing us when we have worry and anxiety and doubt, but for holding us close, for coming in and showing us who you are. God, I just pray for each and every member of our community, both here at Broadway and in Plattsburgh, and everyone around the world, that when we struggle and doubt, oh God, that you would be there and you would be present with us. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.